You're listening to Kindcast by Maya, the founder of Social Media Kindness Day. Maya speaks to a range of guests about their experiences of social media. Social Media Kindness Day was set up in memory of Caroline Flack. You can pledge to play your part in making social media a kinder place for all at socialmediakindnessday.com. Now, without further ado, here's your host, Maya.
My guest today is Olga Thompson, better known online as the Big Fat Greek Mother. I would describe Olga's Instagram as one that makes you laugh hysterically. As an actress, she plays a few characters who you get to know and love via her feed, all of who are hilarious. When you're feeling down or just not yourself, Big Fat Greek Mother's Instagram is one that gives you an instant lift and will have you laughing out aloud, be warned. As well as the feel-good vibe Olga's Instagram gives, she is also very supportive and kind, perhaps because she knows too well the effects of the darker side of social media, which we speak about in detail in this episode. When I shared online the horrendous trolling I received, Olga was one of the first to send me the sweetest, kindest voice note, which spoke straight to my heart. And at that moment, I realised that everyone needs a Big Fat Greek Mother in their corner. I'm glad to have found mine, and I hope you do too. Olga, hi. It's so
Hello. Nice
to see you. I've been waiting to speak to you for ages.
Likewise, I'm so excited to see your beautiful face and to hear you.
Olga, I am so keen to speak to you just because you made your career online. I know you have another career, but in terms of what we know you for, and as I've said to you before, your social media, I would describe it as if you're having a bit of a rubbish day, you need cheering up. Get on your page, go through your videos, and you can have a really good laugh at you, with you, at you laughing at yourself. It's just that feel-good medicine that you need. Would that be accurate?
Do you know, that is just, you just lifted me so much just by saying that, because I love that. I love that people can just feel a little bit brighter, because it's, you know, it's hard. We just come out of COVID times, you know, we're going into winter as well. And just the fact that people can just, you know, have a laugh and just sort of relax a bit. And I actually have a lot of kids following me because my content is pretty clean. So, you know, and it's really nice to have that following, being an ambassador with Kidscape as well, the anti-bullying charity. I get a lot of connections with them. So it's just lovely that I can create a space that people can come and just have fun. There's no agenda other than just having a laugh, you know? So it's really lovely. It's really lovely that people feel that when they come.
Yeah, and you totally get sense of it. But, you know, when I say that, knowing social media as I do, I knew, sadly, the behind the scenes was very different, and it's not always your DMs or the comment sections aren't always this happy place that we associate you as.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot that goes on. I don't get it as bad as, you know, other people who are perhaps more in the limelight, but I have had really unkind DMs, or I've had trolling before, not so much now, but more so in the early days. You know, who is she? Who does she think she is? I think the one that hurt the most for me was her husband and sons must be so embarrassed every day, you know, her jumping up and down. And that really, I think that comment when it involved my family really hurt. But you'll get that, but then you'll get the everyday things, people saying, you know, I don't like it. You use your hands too much. Every time you talk, you keep touching your face, you know, but it, sometimes it's meant quite innocently. But I think when you're online, or when you do things that where you have a public profile, people almost think because you're online and you're on a screen that you're removed, that they can say those things to you. I would never say those things to someone in the middle of Sainsbury's, but yet people would say, well, if you're making yourself available and you're online and you're putting yourself out there, then you have to deal with it. But why? Because we are operating online. That's where we all work now. So why is it okay? You would do that down the market. You wouldn't do that over across to your neighbour's fence. So why is it okay to do it online?
And if you did it in Sainsbury's or outside, there'd be consequences. There'd be consequences, but there isn't online.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You can say anything. And it's not just things that have been said to me, things that have been said to my friends. I'm like, what? They said what? You know, I've had like, some Greek guy once said, oh, you're a complete dog. What do you think you're doing? You're an embarrassment to the Greek society. And I've had it all. But I think as I've gotten older, as I've gotten tougher, I've received comments less. I think also because not that I don't show vulnerability, but I think I've just gotten to that point where I'm so happy in my skin now that, listen, don't get me wrong, someone could write something tomorrow and it would devastate me. Because, like we were saying before, we're human. As strong as we are human. And if someone says something unkind, no matter how tough you are, feel good, positive thinking, say your prayers, you know, all of that, you will still get hurt. But, sorry, have I gone off topic, I think?
No, you haven't. Absolutely not. You said, as you've got tougher, do you find the online world has made you tougher and it's giving you that resilience?
Oh, absolutely. It can be brutal, you know, and you know, it is, because you are under scrutiny all the time. And you know, for me, it's only just now in my career that I'm trying to make the leap off of social media back onto the stage, which is where I began, but it's taken such a long time, because you can get comfortable working online, and then if you make revenue from being there and it's easy, you can do it from your home, raising your kids. But you know, it is a really tough place, and I have become a lot tougher. I've actually become a lot kinder as well. I've become a lot more understanding of others, forgiving others, being quicker to forgive, being quicker not to take offense, you know, because people are all under pressure. It just happens that when you're online, you see everything all the time. Oh, hang on a minute. I messaged her the other day. Why is she not replying to me? Oh, she just put a post out about her dog. Hang on a minute. It's so easy to accumulate offense. It's so easy to accumulate misconception. And I think I've learned to slow down and digest my social media a bit more. Being careful who I follow, what I allow in, you know. And also, if someone's giving you a comment that isn't very kind, well, you have to think, well, first of all, who are they? Why are they doing that? They're obviously doing that because they're unhappy. You know, why would you? Let's go back to Sainsbury's. I wouldn't go up to someone in Sainsbury's and say, I don't like the way you're picking those baked beans off the shelf. You know, you're doing it like you think you're somebody special, you know, just pick them off the shelf like a regular person, you know. So I just think if they're saying that, they're unhappy. But so I think.
I agree with that. My saying is always, happy people don't go around the internet leaving negative comments. But I also think the problem with why you wouldn't go to the person in Sainsbury's to why you get it online is because if you've got a beautiful blouse on now, if I said to you, oh God, I really don't like it, it does nothing.
Yeah.
I'd see your reaction. I'd see the shock in your face.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether you've had a bad day on, you know, when I do it in your comment section. Yeah. I don't know whether you've not spoken to anyone, whether it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. I know none of it. I don't even know if you've seen it because you've got that many thousands of followers.
Yeah. So
there's that removal.
Absolutely. And you can stay hidden. You can be incognito. There's a really awful platform, and I talk about it wherever I go, because it's called, you must have heard of Tattle. It's a horrible okay. So, you know, why does that exist still? I know that there were petitions to get that taken down. It still exists. So these people, they're online, but they're hidden. So they will go through and attack other people. It's usually women. Attack them, say bad things about them, and have a different name, like Silver Cushion or whatever it is they call themselves. And I would just think, that actually does make me angry. That I don't have tolerance for, because at least I know with people that follow me or whatever, there's a bit more of an interaction. But something like that is removed, it's just unkind.
Yeah.
You know, it is just blatantly unkind. And I don't care how unhappy you are. There's just no excuse sometimes. I just think there's no excuse. No. I know you're unhappy, but really, 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 come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There is absolutely no excuse. So the early days when you first started Big Fat Greek Mother, how did that happen? Where were you? I mean, I am sure, and I know the answer probably to this, that it wasn't intentional. You didn't think this great big account that you have now. How did it start?
Well, I have always been a performer. Before I had the boys, I was a comedian, stand-up comedian. I always did that. But then obviously motherhood took over. And then I had what I call the sleeping years, where I had the children. I lost myself. I also went through a breakdown, a mental breakdown. I had a lot of trauma that was dug up through childbirth, which is quite common for women, more than we care to speak of it. And so I had a really difficult few years where I was just lost. I couldn't perform. I couldn't write. I was very depressed. You know, I hadn't slept for a couple of years, and it was a really difficult time in my life. I mean, to be quite honest, I actually felt like dying back then. Thank goodness that's all in the past. But in that time, somehow I began to reconnect with what I loved doing, and I couldn't get to a stage, but I could create YouTube videos. And so I started to make these YouTube videos, and then obviously came onto Instagram about 6 years ago or so, 7 years ago. And I found that I could have a little audience there. And, you know, I was Olga for a long time. And then it was only probably about 5 years ago that I changed it to Big Fat Greek Mother, because obviously I love the film, Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's quite a popular film in our house, being Greek. And then I love the spin on the mother, because it was kind of like a theatre show created by a Greek mother, you know, about everything to do with womanhood and maternity and struggles and comparison and mental health, but it was done in a very theatrical way. So hence the Big Fat Greek Mother umbrella.
So those early days, 6 years ago, what was the online world like then? Because we're the first generation to use social media in the way that we are. You know, you and I grew up when we went to school. Yeah. Without it, we got into it in our adulthood.
Absolutely.
So we were lucky not to use it like most young people do, like a diary. You know, my diary is stored, hidden, and I dread to think some of the things are written in my diary. nobody will see it.
Nobody knows. Nobody can see a bad photo of me with a mullet. Well, I mean, I use it obviously still for comedy value, but there are photos that no one will ever see, and they will never see because they don't exist. It's like BC, but for social media.
Exactly right. And now, you know, with social media, Social Media Kindness Day, the O in social media is a thumbprint, because most of us use a thumb, and we leave a thumbprint online. And when I see comments from young people, or probably, or even not, looking at the older generation on how they're using social media and seeing the negativity and the attention they probably get through trolling, or what they perceive as attention. And I just worry that these young people who at 13, 14, 15 years old don't know whether they'll become the next prime minister or a public figure or a solicitor or something that leaves a trail off their social media. And it's not taught at school.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's that there's a history. And, you know, I talk quite openly, you know, about the fact that I lost my niece to suicide. My sister-in-law set up an amazing charity, you know, about this, about helping young women, you know, and how social media also has an impact on that. And I feel like young people are not really equipped enough to think about the longevity and the implications of your social media thumbprint, blueprint, you know, that it affects you. Even if you say it doesn't affect you, even if you're not posting and you're not online, that still affect it, you are affected more so as a young person, because it's part of your DNA, which is a sad thing to say, but it is. Yeah. Even how to do with your identity, how you view yourself through a lens that other that has been filtered, that other people have commented on. Now, I developed my identity long before I needed validation from Instagram. But now the two are very blurred.
Yeah, yeah.
For young people.
Yeah. And it's so sad. I was talking to a cosmetic surgeon, a client of mine, who said, you know, previously would get photos of, I don't know, Jennifer Aniston, Cindy Crawford, and yeah. say, I want to look like that. Now people are bringing filtered images of themselves and saying, I want to look like that, which isn't even possible due to
images.
And you know, at the click of a finger, young people are so savvy that they know how to Photoshop elements of their face. And I've had so many situations where I've met people from Instagram in real life, and I've had to take a double take. So I'm like,
that's so funny.
And I've had to hide it, have like this poker face. I'm like, you're not the same, you know, the cheekbones or the features, and like, no, look
that's
alike.
So funny.
But it's almost like you've got a different identity, and like you said, forming yeah. identities at school. You're a teacher as well. What do you think can be done in schools, and are you seeing a shift in that in the 6 years you've been online?
It was just this last year that I've stopped teaching, and I've gone full time with my show and with comedy as well. But I do have some. When I have been in school, I have had some really good conversations, because it's something young people really want to talk about. And I think because I understand the world, it gives me a bit more kudos, I suppose. But I think we do need people to go in and talk to young people, people that are actually using the platform, you know, young people, older people, and actually to keep the conversation going, because I think there isn't enough time to stop and breathe. People are just chucking it down their gullets like McDonald's. They're not really thinking about it. They're not really digesting what they're seeing, and they're just ingesting all of this stuff, which starts to have fractures in their own identity and how they see themselves, you know. And it's fine, because if you've got a good solid foundation and a good family background, you know, but I just think if you're vulnerable, it can really get you. And the thing with young people now, the work that I do with Kidscape is really important, because when you were bullied, or when you were our age, you came home, that was it. Now it's online. And even if they're not bullying you, you can see that they've all been out somewhere together and they didn't invite you.
Yeah.
FOMO. It's everywhere. And we just need to keep the conversation going. We need to, you know, like a fire, sometimes it's really, really, the flames are burning and then it dies down. But we need to keep the flames burning. We need to keep the conversations going with our kids, you know, in schools, as parents, not just leaving it to the schools, but as parents, if you've got a kid, you know, talk to them, you know, what are they doing? You know, just, and even for yourself as a parent, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, my kids will come talk to me and I'll be on my phone. Put your phone down, just, you know.
Yeah. And do you think there should be an age limit on when someone goes online, a child, or what are your thoughts on that?
To be honest, what is it for Instagram? Is it 12 or 13? You know, there are 10-year-olds go on it, 9-year-olds go on it. I just think that putting an age limit doesn't make a massive difference. I think being involved in what your kid does online will make more of a difference. The more you stop someone doing something, the more they're going to do it. But I do think these big media conglomerates need to be more mindful of what, and police everything a little bit more, because I don't think that they are, and I think that they're dropping the ball.
Yeah. And let's hope with this online harms bill that the government, who knows what it will be. But, you know, they can't self-regulate, and they're not. And they're a big business. They're there to make money. they need to be governed, because during this pandemic, we have all gone online. I've turned my business online. Loads of people are going online and using it as a lifeline.
And absolutely,
you see how they can be treated. And I, you know, working with business owners, it's almost like of those of a certain age say, oh, I don't want social media because you get trolled on it. It's almost like there's a feature of being on these like platforms that you get trolling, and it's
absolutely, and people don't understand it. Like, you know, even my mum, who barely has a phone, you know, it's not a smartphone, and she'll say, well, why are you telling all these people? Or people will tell her, oh, your daughter's not very well. Why are you talking to a camera if you're not very well? Or, you know, it's quite hard. It's really hard because we are that generation. It's hard, almost harder for our generation being online, because a lot of people my age aren't on it. Mm-hmm. They don't use it. They don't understand it. Not that they do, they need to, but you know, they lead a much quieter life. But at the same time, it's really hard to find the people that you can speak with, like the way we're speaking now, because people are afraid of it, and they shouldn't be. And there's space for everyone. It's literally just another marketplace. We used to meet in the town square. We don't do that anymore. This is where we meet.
Yes.
Because society has changed. And social media is actually a really beautiful, healthy place when it's regulated.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, just like in Sainsbury's, you can safely walk around the aisles and not be abused. Hopefully one day, the aim of Social Media Kindness Day is for it not to exist, because it won't be a need.
Absolutely.
So tell me about those early days again. You know, do you remember the first negative comment you received?
Oh, totally. I remember it like it was, yesterday. First of all, it was a few things. One was this Greek guy came on and said, you're an embarrassment, you're a disgrace to the community. And oh my goodness, that actually made me ill. I was so ill and depressed from it. It's about 5-6 years ago. And it made me really doubt myself and really worry. And then there were some other things as well. There was another woman online who was just leaving comments on other people's pages about me, saying, oh, if she does one more, I love you, or hello everyone, or let's be happy, I'm going to be sick, can't stand her, hate her. And it was just really, really toxic. And then the comments came out on Tattle as well, about the fact that I was so joyful and I was always jumping around in a wig and I was an embarrassment. And for me, that's my USP, not because it's, I don't know, I'm trying, not that it's something I put on, but my thing is joy, tapping into joy in the darkest of places, because I've had to learn how to do that on my own. And so when someone then attacks that and you think, oh my goodness, but this is all I have. This is my foundation now. This is what saved me. And then I did have a massive wobble in those early days. But then as I grew stronger, I realized, okay, so those people are hurting. Right, okay.
How did you realize that? Was it because you're
gradually?
I can see gradually. Yeah, I can see exactly how it's impacting on you now. And hearing this, it just makes my heart break because of the reasons why you started to do this.
Oh, yeah.
But no human should feel like that or have that said about them. So, how do you rationalize that when you're hurting? Let's face it, because those comments are hurting you. So how do you think they...
You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think you can go water off a duck's back. That's it now. I think it does take times of you crying on the floor. And I wish I hadn't, but it made me stronger. I wish I hadn't doubted myself, but it made me stronger. I wish I hadn't, you know, there is amazing women online that I can go to that had been through that already, that were strong, that held me. You know, this was all done remotely, by the way, messaging people on WhatsApp groups, Olga, this is normal. This has happened to me. You need to do this, this, and this. And I kept doing that and that and that, and I still felt bad. then more time passed, and then maybe another comment came. It is literally building resilience. And I, do you need to be resilient to be online?
You didn't have you didn't have a manual when you started. So you are, no. This conversation is someone's manual.
Right? Yes.
Because no one said, right, Olga, you started the Big Fat Greek Mother Instagram account. Here's what you need to do. It's a bit like a toaster or an oven, you know, with a manual.
Yeah, you get caught off the blue and you get caught out the blue and it's like, why, you know, or why are you doing this? This is embarrassing, or I don't like the way you're doing this now. You seem to have changed. I used to like you in the early days. You're different now. And I'm thinking, you know, and it's all these things that can feed. When you're feeling vulnerable, yes, I've become more resilient, but when you're feeling vulnerable, it really hurts. And I've had to in the darkest places where I've wanted to delete all my social media, keep being resilient and strong. And it's come through knowing who I am, but it's come through the strength of other people online who also go through it, who have helped me. And now I help other people. I help a lot of sort of younger women and younger mums who are coming up, who are creating content, who'll say this happened. And I'll say, well, no, you're not giving up because of this. You're not giving up because of this. Sometimes the online world feels like the playground, the school playground. And it's horrible that you could be in your 30s and 40s and 50s and still feel like the kid in the playground. But that is how it feels. And we do need tools, not just for our young people, but for us to be resilient.
Because you're human and none of us are.
Yeah.
To be bullied, whether it's in the workplace, online, wherever, it's almost like it'll get you wherever you are.
Absolutely.
Regardless. So those moments when you were so low, and you know, it really makes me think that Greek man who left you that comment has no idea, probably, I'm assuming, of what he put you through, yet here you are. And I see your reaction and I hear it in your voice of how that made you feel. What did, with it being in the early days and not knowing what an amazing career it would turn out, what was the reaction from your boys and your husband?
Horrified. They're like, how on earth can someone say that? Or they're an idiot. The boys are actually quite strong. They're like, oh, that's an idiot. Oh, what an idiot. They're like, what an idiot, you know? And they're always telling me, mummy, you're amazing. You're great. They've always been supportive. And I have to say, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't do it. And if they weren't happy, I wouldn't do it. But yeah, they've been incredibly supportive. And I think having that solid foundation of my family, my husband, for me also my faith, I think keeps me grounded. Because yes, social media is the new marketplace. Yes, it's where we meet. But I still need my grounding. In the same way that if I went to Sainsbury's and I worked, keep talking about Sainsbury's, but you know, and if I went to Sainsbury's and I did my networking and I worked there, da, 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 I'd still have to be grounded.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you need to be grounded, you know, and you need to have cutoff points and stay healthy. The trouble is when the lines blur, you know, and we've spoken as well about at other times about Caroline, where the lines blur and you can't quite switch off the social media and you can't quite get your foot on that firm foundation. I've spoken openly about my niece as well, that you can't, it's when you slip, you know, and it's how we make sure that people don't slip again. And that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. And how do you deal with those comments now? I spoke to Lisa Riley, and she says she follows her trolls, you know, really freaks them out. what do you do? I mean, do you look into them? You know, because if I got lots of trolling, and I've had some, and I look into it, and then normally fake accounts, but I'm sure there are some that are genuine, real people.
I think, I might have a little look at what their account is, and then I think, well, what if it was someone amazing and they said that? It doesn't actually really matter what or who their account is. It's more about me. and who I am. So if I think, oh, you're an idiot, you're a numpty, so that I can feel better about that comment, that doesn't even always work. For me, what works is I know who I am. I know the joy I bring. I know where I am. I'm solid. I'm here. Now I can deal with it. And and yes, you're a numpty. Yes, you're an idiot. You know, you've put up your profile picture as a photo of a cushion with diamonds all over it. You know, you don't even have a name. But that doesn't make me feel better. Thinking bad of you doesn't make me feel better that you thought bad of me. Does that make sense?
It does. And initially,
it doesn't work.
Initially, when you said that, I thought, yes, that's true. You know, if it was someone amazing and they said that. But then in reality, it got me thinking when you said that it hardly would ever come from someone amazing. So that in itself tells you
exactly
everything you need.
Exactly. And why do these people need to have these fake accounts and do what they do? There will be a time, and there is a really good, I'll send it to you after, there's a new page on Instagram that's popped up, and I think they're called the Social Media Detective Agency, and you report to them trolling, and they're exposing. It's amazing. They've done so much. They've like blown up over the last few weeks, and because as we know, social media, Instagram doesn't always deal with things off the bat, but they do, and they get into it. They're exposing the trolls. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So healthy. It's so normal. And they're just normalizing the fact that, you know what? No, this is not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can't fall asleep on this. This is not okay. You don't behave like that in public. You don't behave like that here, because this is a public space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We've spoken a lot about the negative sides. Let's touch on the positive. What has been your best day on social media, or the best moments?
Some highlights. I have loved what I've loved today. I've loved connecting with you. I feel like we're going to have a lovely friendship, and this is going to be the first of many things that we do together. I love chatting to Anthony a little while ago, Anthony Costa. I love the work that I do with Kidscape. I did a lovely stand-up show for Pregnant Then Screwed a few years ago. I love Anna. Do you know what? There have been so many highlights. And it's really good chatting to you, because it's good for me to remember those as well, because you can forget. Because if you give someone 10 compliments and one negative thing, they'll remember that. But actually, there's been more good than harm. I have met some incredible, talented, amazing, you know, through my social media, I was able to do a private show for Katy Piper, you know, and that was an amazing time of my life. It's just opened up some amazing doors. I've met some incredible people, wonderful opportunities. But more than that, people are kind, they are decent, they are humble, and humanity is good. That's what I've learned from social media. So I'm not going to sit here and allow these one or two people to spoil it. You know, I won't allow it. And if I spend the rest of my life doing that, I will do it wherever I can. I will shout about it, because
that's made me so emotional hearing you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so passionately say that, because it's about not letting them win, not letting the bullies win. Just
no.
As you would in a school playground, your head teacher would say. So good. So what advice would you give to anyone, whether a young person wanting to follow in your footsteps, or an adult, what advice would you give them before getting a Instagram or social media account?
I honestly think this is going to sound a bit crazy, but you know, if you think too much about the jump, you're never going to do it. Just jump, take a jump. And you know what? You might drown a little bit, but there'll be people there to catch you. And so I'm never going to say to someone, be careful and post after 6 o'clock and do this and don't take a picture with the side of your nose, because then that will attract the trolls. Do you know what, baby? You are freaking amazing, jump.
There you go.
And do you know what? You might wobble. You might wobble. Yes, yes, it's going to happen. Maybe it won't. But there is more good than bad, and you will find your people. Just jump.
Oh, I could not have summed it up. That just jump, and there'll be people to catch you. I love that.
Always.
I love that. So, coming on to social media companies, what do you think they need to do? I spoke to last year the footballer Stephen Warnock in terms of, you know, he said there should be a bank account type system where people know. Now, I don't believe in anonymity online. I think there are people in different countries that might need it. We've seen recently what's happened with in Afghanistan and people reporting that. There's all sorts of reasons why people genuinely need anonymity. However, I think that that's anonymity to the public. That should
absolutely
be anonymous to the social media accounts. They should know what they are. I hope I haven't put words in your mouth, but what do you
think
social media companies need to do? And do you believe in anonymity?
I think that they do need to make people accountable. And so if you're posting negative comments from an account and if you're reported, your account should be taken down.
One strike?
Completely off for me.
Really?
I have zero tolerance. I have zero. And I'm not just talking about the little things like, you know, I don't like the way your elbows look today. I'm talking about, you know, if you're seriously bullying someone, you need to come off. Get off. Just get off and do something else with your time. You know, if you can't handle being on that platform and looking, if looking at people and their feeds is bringing up things in you, you need to get off. And I would say out.
Wow.
I'm zero tolerance to bullying online. Oh, you know, no, there's no excuse for it. You know, you could say, oh, they didn't mean to. It takes a lot to formulate something in your head, contact that person, to type it out. You're physically typing, so you've got all that time to type it out before you send it. Nah, sorry.
But I get it. I totally get it. But then I'm thinking you and I are probably lucky enough to never have stooped that low in terms of getting into the mindset of a troll and why they would. And now a lot of people say to me, Maya, why do people troll? And I have a theory, and it might be really idealistic.
Yeah.
People wake up, they go to a 9-to-5, living somebody else's dreams. They're not happy in their 9-to-5, but they don't do anything about it. Then they come home and they spend 4 or 5 hours a night watching someone else's lives on Emmerdale or Coronation Street or whatever, or Netflix.
Right, yeah.
And then they come onto their phones and see people living their best lives. Hashtag living my best life. And they think, why is that not me? Why am I not doing that? And then, you know, just like we're taught, you know, if we were being bullied at school or someone was poking you in the back or something, the teacher will say, oh, he just fancies you, ignore him or whatever. Because those types of behaviors we were taught at school, it's because they like you. That's why they want attention. And we know, don't we, that children
oh, absolutely,
to get attention do it that way. So now if they, let's talk about a celebrity, if they go onto a celebrity's account and then leave a negative comment, comment, let's talk about a good comment, it wouldn't be noticed because drowned in a sea of all the lovely comments that person has got under their post. But if they posted something that was negative, and just what they thought out the blue, and they feel it because all day, all year, all month, whatever it may be, they felt so low in themselves, they've just sprued it out, not thinking that person's going to read it, not thinking, thinking it's a management, and then thinking, it's to be seen, to be heard, to be noticed, because I don't feel that in my day. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. But I feel like that a lot of the time I look at someone, I think, oh, they're better than me. They are prettier than me, or they're funnier than me, or they're younger than me. We all have these thoughts. That's normal. What is not normal is then going and pulling that person down and ruining their life. And I'm not just talking about the odd comment. I'm talking about if you've been systematically bullying someone, trolling someone on any of these sites, you are struck off. You know, I'll probably get lynched for it. I don't care. I just think that is, you know, think of it this way, okay? You get a fine for, you know, speeding or breaking the law. Why is this not seen in the same way? This is wrong. It's massively wrong. I don't care how unhappy you are. Nobody has the right to do that to another person. Yeah. You know, and it just because it's verbal emotional abuse doesn't mean it's any less. If it was a domestic violence issue, we would be up in arms. I'm not comparing the two, but what I'm saying, because there's no physical attack, we're downplaying it straight away.
Even domestic violence, as we both know, isn't just physical. So I understand that, and I completely agree with you. So what happens to that person? So they've been struck off. They cannot get online. Where do they go? They've not seen anyone. They're so low. I'm just thinking in terms of...
I hear what you're saying. And also, how would you even police this? Yeah. How would you even police something like that? I think... I don't know. Do you attack it from attacking the bullies, or do you attack it from growing the kindness movement? It's really hard, isn't it?
Carry on.
Yeah. No, I don't know whether the kindness movement is so strong. I think I feel like this, Maya, obviously because I lost my niece, you know, and I think I'm all coming from a very emotional place still. So that's probably why I feel the way that I do. But what I hope is that brick by brick, as we build the kindness movement, that people will be too embarrassed, ashamed. It'll be abnormal.
Yeah. And I completely, completely agree.
Yeah.
And again, you know, losing Caroline as well, and then just the cheek of, you know, tabloids deleting articles the next day, and then shock. I have the same amount of anger, but it's trying to, if we don't understand.
Yeah, I know.
This. So let's take it back to that Greek man. Do you think he knew the impact he had on you? Because most sensible people, a majority of people, do they even know the impact? Because I had trolling to the point of, and I shared it online, and people said, you know, again, like you, it was full of sea of lovely people just wrapping me around their arms, and it was terrible, telling me that I should take my own life and that they would send me the tools to do it and things like that. And simply it was like, what did I say? But, you know, it's not dwelling on that, but it's just seeing, did the person really know how that impacted on me? Did that person know that I needed to step away from the online space for a few days, be with people who genuinely knew me in real life, not just from Instagram? And I think you know exactly what you're going through. You had your husband pick you up off the floor or whatever it may be, your friends wrap around. But how visible is it? And only recently also, I'm seeing a lot of people say, Instagram versus reality, as in I don't look like this all the time. So we're getting more used to that sort of
content. Yes, yeah.
But I haven't, until I set up Social Media Kindness Day, I haven't had a place where I can speak to the likes of you and other people who have generally had such a horrible time of being trolled, in order to put that conversation out there in the public domain.
Mm-mm.
To say, this is how bad it is. Let's act now before any more lives are taken. Because
absolutely,
yes, Caroline made the headlines, but like your niece, there are so many other Carolines that don't make the headlines.
That don't make the headlines. And, you know, losing someone is devastating. There are no words, but we don't need to wait till we lose someone else. And it's not even just about losing someone, it's about nobody should have to tolerate this language, this attack. You know, it's, we have to come, zero tolerance for me. It's zero tolerance. It's wrong. And I know what you're saying, that that person, did that person know that that they would have that effect? Yes.
Really?
I think I do, because I think, why would you say it? Why would you say it? You're saying it to be vindictive and unkind because you want to have that effect.
But do they know that you would have, yes, they do, but do they know it's going to impact you there? So yeah, 100% agree with
they're,
you.
They're saying it, yeah, for a reaction and to hurt you. They want to hurt you. You know, when we think about, you know, the lynching of celebrities as well, what, why are they, why, what is that? Is that, it just saddens me. It saddens me. And I just don't want, I don't want anyone else to go through it. I just don't want any more of it. It's just, you know, I've known people that had to involve the police, you know, accounts and friends of mine who've had to involve the police, and protect them for their children. How is this okay? This is not okay.
Yeah. And I don't want to play devil's advocate too long, because this is a topic close to my heart as well. Trying to think that we don't want, where does that person go? Because online is so powerful. You've spoken so lovely about all the lovely experiences you've had. So for support. But you know, when a friend of mine told me, when she looked into trolls, one of the person trolling her was a police officer in Northern Ireland. He would go at the end of the day to his shed and use it as a release. His wife and children knew nothing about it. He has such a hard shift. He'd go to the end of the garden in his shed and troll and leave horrible comments. Amy Hart spoke to the parliamentary committee about, from Amy Hart from Love Island, in terms of it was a nurse trolling her. So when we look at it from that place, we think these people of in power, in trust, that we would turn to for help are doing this, then where do they go for help? And also, I like what you said. They should be embarrassed. It should become a place where they should be embarrassed to leave a comment and no tolerance. But how do we get to that stage?
Well, it's exactly like you're doing now, and it's growing the kindness, and to the point that there is no more space. You know, darkness can't exist when there's light. And the more that the light, the brighter the lights gets, the less darkness there will be, and the less opportunity for these things to fester in the corner, because there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a much healthier way of dealing with this than just, because you're never going to catch them. It's like catching slippery fish. How do you police them? How do you stop them?
And be lovely. Do you have faith in social media companies, or, and this is my next question, do you think it takes government intervention?
I think it's all of us. I think it's social media companies. I think it's government intervention. I think a lot of people who are in parliament don't understand social media. A lot of them are quite, you know, sort of fuddy-duddy. They don't understand it for themselves. And so they're not taking it seriously because they're not using it either. So hence, that's the problem. And they don't quite understand it. They just think, oh, it's just people who are online. They need to not be online so much. But they don't really understand the mechanics of it. I think we're all accountable and we all need to be involved.
I totally back that, because I believe, and we've seen on social media, the power, people power, you know, is so strong. And one of the things, part of Social Media Kindness Day, the hashtag after Caroline was Be Kind. What happened to that? You know, Boris Johnson was in hospital and people were wishing him dead. So it was like we forgot months later about hashtag Be Kind. So no, I, yeah. want, I wanted to create something that you would do something. There are resources on our website, but one of the things I wanted everyone to do is pledge on our website to be kind and play their part in making social media a kinder place. And the feedback I got last year was, oh, I love that, but I'm not pledging because I'm already kind. And it was like, I know, and kind people can make a pledge, because it's all of us saying we all have a responsibility.
No. Yeah,
we're going to get on these accounts.
Being conscious, absolutely.
We all have a responsibility.
Being conscious, yeah, and actually, I've learned something from you today as well, because you know, it's not just about saying they should be lock them up, put sellotape over him. You know, gaffer his mouth, or you know, take his keyboard away. That isn't going to work. But what is going to work is this pledge to be kind, no matter what. You know, and the one thing that echoes from the past for me is, who does she think she is? Be this, be kind, be happy. You know, and that was something that I used to use a lot, and I stopped for a while because I thought, oh, I must be really annoying to people. You know, and I that's my pledge. I will continue to speak about kindness. I don't care whether you think it's cool or not cool, or if I annoy you, if I grate on you. I actively choose kindness. So I will pledge that.
Yeah, and kindness saves lives, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's not just some corny saying. I totally believe, because another thing that we did last year, and you know, this is still in its early days, it's an experiment. You know, the media are starting to talk about the impact of social media, but one thing we did last year was have, and again, an idealistic view, but if someone's trolling and I put my hands up, in the past I scrolled by, I thought, oh, ignore that, scrolled by. But now what we did is have resources on our website that if you don't feel comfortable in addressing that person, and just maybe a tap on the shoulder reminding them that, is this really kind, and the impact of this, that there are memes on our website that you can download and remind them. Because just as those certain newspapers, and we both know which ones we're probably referring to, the comments... Yes. The comment sections on there, it's just a trail of hate and abuse. However, if you let it carry on, there will be this trail. However, if a few people in the middle of that trail and that thread just remind people just about kindness, it'll break it up. And just like there's a following for hate, you know, Frances Hogan, the Facebook whistleblower, said the fastest way to grow on Facebook is through anger and hate. And so we see why these social media companies create a platform like that. But one of the things that this makes it worthwhile was, when there's someone being trolled, we've got a meme. Even if you don't know them, just send them a message, check in on them, because they may never have someone checking in on them. They may live alone. They may be so close and on that bathroom floor where they think, I can't take anymore. What, you know, whatever the situation may be.
Yeah.
And to receive that from a stranger, the amount of people that looked into why they were receiving this from people, and then realized, social media kindness day, and linked it back to me, the messages I've got.
Wow.
You know, I need to print them off and put it somewhere. You know, it's a bit like the good comments you receive on bad days. Just keep it in your camera roll to read through. It makes it worthwhile. And when you see the power of kindness from strangers, it's unbelievable. And going back to the Sainsbury's trip, no, people would not say a negative thing to you. But what they may say is, oh, that's a beautiful blouse, or I like your lipstick, or whatever. You know, those are the common things. Let's take Sainsbury's and or any other supermarket social media like that. And I think over time, because we're only the first generation to use it in this way, so I think we all need to gather together and and just spread kindness. And if it annoys Absolutely. You, it says more about you than it does about
it. Yeah, no, you've given me an idea for a post, actually. Thank you. Thank you. I've actually really learned something as well myself.
Yeah.
About the power of kindness and how that does break down the walls of hate. Yeah. Because, you know, hating someone for that unkindness isn't going to diminish that unkindness. It's only going to leave you with that poison, you know. But
and the trolls need the kindness the most, right? We know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank I feel you. Really emotional. Just
so do I. So do I.
Just speaking to you. Olga, thank you so too. Much for your vulnerability. You. I know it must take a lot for you. And I saw parts of this because we can see each other in terms of how it impacted you. And there were times where I had to take a deep breath and think, I'm going to cry here in a minute, because it's those conversations that we all need to hear about the reality, what goes on.
Yeah, that one little comment can devastate you, can totally floor you, and someone's making their comments, you know, and but for you that could be really, really, I mean, really disabling and can knock you out, make you feel ill. But that's just from a comment.
Because it takes physical form, right? Our emotions turn physical. We know this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's good for people to know the impact that this can have on people, that unkindness can have on people through social media. It's massive.
Yeah. So we all, after listening to this, I'm sure, need a bit of a lift. And where better than your Instagram account? So where are you, Olga? Where can people find you?
So I'm Big Fat Greek Mother, and I just do lots of comedy. I have all different types of characters, but my thing is looking at the idiosyncrasies and the silly foibles that we all have as people, and I put them into characters, and it's there to make you laugh and there to make you feel good. So
it really, really does. So just save the account when you're feeling happy, when you're feeling sad, go and follow your account and you will
thank you it. So much. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, I love this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I loved it too.
You've been listening to Kindcast by Maya. For more information about the difference you can make, visit socialmediakindnessday.com. Whilst over there, don't forget to pledge your part in making social media a kinder place for all. Join Maya next time for more on social media chat.